Study Article 49. This article will be studied during the week of February 9th through 15th. The Book of Job can help you when you give counsel. Theme text: Now, Job, please hear my words. Job 33:1. Song 44, A Prayer of the Lowly One. Focus: How the Book of Job teaches us to give effective counsel.
Paragraphs 1 and 2 question: What challenge did Job's three companions and Elihu face?
The news spreads like wildfire among the people of the East. Job, a man known far and wide for his riches, has lost everything. When three of Job's companions, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, learn what has happened to Job, they journey to Uz in order to comfort him. But they are not prepared for what they see when they arrive. Imagine the scene. In a sense, everything that Job possessed has been taken from him. His vast herds of sheep, cattle, camels, and donkeys are gone. His children have been killed, and most of his servants have been slaughtered. And the house where Job's children were killed lies in ruins. As if that were not bad enough, Job is personally affected. His body is now covered with painful boils. From a distance, the three men see Job dejected and sitting in ashes. How do they react? For some 7 days, they do not say a word to this man who is in great pain. At one point, a younger man named Elihu arrives and sits down nearby. Job finally breaks the silence by cursing the day he was born and wishing for death. Clearly, Job needs help. What these men say, and how they say it, will prove whether they are really Job's friends and whether they are truly interested in his welfare.
Paragraph 3 question: What will we now focus on?
Jehovah had Moses record what Job's three companions and Elihu said and did. It is worth noting that some of what Eliphaz said seems to have been inspired by a wicked spirit. In contrast, Elihu's statements were inspired by Jehovah. Little wonder, then, that even though the Book of Job contains some of the best advice ever given, it also contains some of the worst. A key benefit that we can gain from the Book of Job is how it can help us when we need to give counsel. First, we will consider the bad examples of Job's three companions. Then, we will discuss the good example of Elihu. In each case, we will learn how the Israelites could have benefited from the Book of Job and how we can benefit from it today. How Job's three companions counseled him.
Paragraph 4 question: Why did Job's three companions fail to achieve their objective?
The Bible says that Job's three companions went to sympathize with Job and comfort him after hearing about his calamities. Job 2:11. However, they failed to achieve that objective. Why? For at least three reasons. First, they were quick to jump to wrong conclusions. For example, they mistakenly assumed that Job was being punished for sins that he had committed.
The footnote reads, "It appears that a wicked spirit led Eliphaz to conclude that Jehovah views no human as righteous, and therefore no human can ever please God." This twisted idea became central to Eliphaz's thinking. He repeated it in each of his three speeches.
Second, much of the counsel those men gave Job was unhelpful, unkind, and downright hurtful. For instance, all three men made statements that sounded good, but were lacking real substance. Twice, Bildad unkindly told Job that he talked too much. And Zophar cuttingly implied that Job was empty-headed. Third, although they may not have raised their voices when speaking to Job, their tone was often condescending, sarcastic, and accusatory. Ultimately, these men became more interested in proving Job wrong than in healing his heart or building up his faith.
The picture for paragraph 4 shows one of Job's companions speaking harshly to him while the other two companions observe. Job, covered in boils, painfully listens to the counsel as he sits on the ground. The picture caption reads, "When offering counsel, strive to avoid a condescending tone. Your goal should be to help." Paragraph 5 question, "What resulted from the counsel that Job's companions gave?"
Not surprisingly, the counsel Job's companions gave did not yield good results. Job felt crushed by their words. You can appreciate why he also felt the need to defend his reputation. That led him to become unbalanced in his thinking and to speak unwisely. Job's companions did not share thoughts that harmonized with Jehovah's thinking, nor did they treat Job with compassion. As a result, they unwittingly became tools in Satan's hands. How could this account have benefited those in the past? And how can it benefit us today?
Paragraph 6 question, "What could the elders in Israel have learned from the bad example of Job's three companions?"
How the Israelites could have benefited. After forming the nation of Israel, Jehovah appointed qualified men, elders, to judge the nation according to his righteous standards. Such men needed to listen carefully before giving advice or rendering judgment. They also needed to ask questions rather than assume that they knew all the facts. Those counselors in Israel needed to avoid speaking harshly to those who came to them for help. Why? Because displaying irritation could discourage a person from opening his or her heart. The elders in Israel who considered the account of Job could have indeed gleaned lessons from it.
Paragraph 7 question, "Besides the elders in Israel, who could give counsel, and how could they have benefited from the account of Job?"
Of course, mature men were not the only ones who could give counsel in Israel. Really, any Israelite, young or old, male or female, could offer advice to a companion who needed help to improve in his worship or to correct his conduct. Such sincere counsel is the mark of a true friend.
Proverbs 27:9 reads,
"Oil and incense make the heart rejoice. So does sweet friendship, springing from sincere counsel."
The bad example of Job's three companions had the potential to provide the Israelites with a living pattern of what not to say and what not to do when giving counsel.
Paragraph 8 question, "What pitfalls do we need to avoid when giving counsel?"
How we can benefit. As Christians, we want to help our brothers and sisters when they go through trials. However, to do so, we must avoid what Job's three companions did. First, we should refrain from jumping to conclusions and be sure that what we say is based on solid facts. Second, we should not build our advice primarily on the unstable ground of personal experience, as Eliphaz often did, but rather on the solid bedrock of God's Word. Third, we need to avoid harsh or critical speech. Remember, Eliphaz and his companions did speak about some things that were true. One of their statements was even quoted by another inspired Bible writer. Nevertheless, most of what they said misrepresented God and hurt Job, so Jehovah judged what they said as false. Good counsel never paints Jehovah as unreasonable or his servants as unlovable. Let us now discuss what we can learn from Elihu's example.
The picture collage for paragraph 8 shows a brother giving loving counsel to a brother who is upset. First, a brother patiently listens to an upset brother as he expresses himself while they sit at an outdoor table with some refreshments. Next, the brother who is listening opens a Bible. Then the brother lovingly shares counsel from the Bible as the other brother calmly listens. The picture caption reads, "When giving counsel, 1. Base what you say on facts, 2. Use God's word, and 3. Speak in a loving manner."
How Elihu counseled Job.
Paragraph 9. Explain why Job needed help after his companions stopped talking and how Jehovah provided it.
By the time Job and his companions stopped arguing, the atmosphere must have been tense. Those men had spoken enough words to fill 28 chapters of the Bible, and much of what was said was spoken in anger or out of frustration. No wonder Job's pain remained. He still needed comfort and correction. How did Jehovah help Job? He used Elihu to give him counsel. Why did Elihu not speak up sooner? "I am young," he said, "and you men are aged, so I respectfully held back." Job 32, 6 and 7. Young Elihu realized what many come to realize today. Older ones have lived and learned, and as a result, have wisdom as well as experience in life that younger ones often do not have. But after listening patiently to Job and his companions, Elihu could no longer keep silent. He said, "Age alone does not make one wise, nor is it only old men who understand what is right." Job 32, 9. What did Elihu say next, and how did he say it?
Paragraph 10 question, what did Elihu do before he offered Job counsel?
Before Elihu gave Job any counsel, he created the right atmosphere. How? First, he got his own emotions under control. We know this because the Bible says that at first Elihu was angry. Yet not once did Elihu attack Job out of frustration. On the contrary, he spoke reassuringly to him. For example, he said to Job, "Look, I am just like you before the true God."
Job 33, 6 and 7 reads,
"Look, I am just like you before the true God. From the clay, I too was shaped. So no fear of me should terrify you, and no pressure from me should overwhelm you."
Then Elihu made it clear that he had listened carefully to Job. In fact, he summarized the key points in Job's 6 speeches. Elihu did something similar when he again offered Job counsel.
Paragraph 11 question, how did Elihu counsel Job?
When offering Job counsel, Elihu did so in a way that dignified that faithful man. For example, Elihu used Job's name, which the other 3 men apparently did not.
Job 33:1 reads,
"But now, Job, please hear my words. Listen to everything I say."
Perhaps remembering his own strong desire to speak while Job and his companions argued, Elihu also empathetically offered Job a chance to respond to his counsel. Elihu also clearly warned Job of the danger of some of his reasoning and kindly reminded him of Jehovah's wisdom, power, justice, and loyal love. Elihu's good counsel no doubt put Job in the right frame of mind to receive additional instruction, this time from his Creator. How could the example of Elihu have benefited those in the past, and how can it benefit us today?
Paragraph 12 question, how did Jehovah use prophets to help his people, and how could the Israelites have benefited from Elihu's good example?
How the Israelites could have benefited. Throughout Israel's history, Jehovah appointed prophets to make his purpose known to the Israelites. For example, during the period of the Judges, Deborah provided motherly spiritual guidance to the nation, and Samuel tirelessly served as Jehovah's spokesman from his youth. Then, during the time of the kings, Jehovah provided an almost continuous line of prophets to strengthen his people spiritually and to give advice to those who strayed from pure worship. Elihu's example, recorded in the book of Job, had the potential to help faithful men and women to understand what to say and how to say it when giving counsel.
Paragraph 13 question. How can Christians today encourage fellow worshipers?
How we can benefit. As Christians, we too make known God's will by proclaiming what is found in His Word, the Bible. Another way we do so is by using words that build up and encourage our fellow worshipers. Elders need to be especially aware of the need to speak consolingly to their brothers and sisters, even those who might be agitated or inclined to engage in wild talk.
Paragraphs 14 and 15 illustrate how an elder can imitate Elihu when giving counsel.
Imagine this situation. An elder learns that a sister in his congregation is feeling depressed. Commendably, he and another brother visit her to try to provide encouragement. During the visit, the sister expresses negative emotions. She mentions that although she is attending meetings and going out in the ministry, she feels little joy. How will the brother taking the lead react? First, he will likely try to learn the underlying reasons for the sister's pain. To accomplish that, he will have to listen patiently. Does she feel unworthy of God's love? Are the anxieties of life breaking her spirit? Luke 21:34. Second, the elder will look for opportunities to commend the sister. She is, after all, still attending meetings and sharing in the ministry despite feeling depressed. And third, once the elder understands the situation and what is causing the sister to feel discouraged, he will use the Bible to build up her confidence in God's love for her. Continue to benefit from the book of Job.
Paragraph 16 question. How can we continue to benefit from the book of Job?
What benefits we receive from examining the book of Job? As we learned in the preceding article, this inspired account teaches us not only why God permits suffering, but also how we can endure it. And as we have considered in this discussion, all of us can learn to give effective counsel by not following the bad examples of Job's three companions, but instead following the good example of Elihu. Why not review the lessons you have learned from the book of Job before offering counsel to others in the future? And if it has been some time since you have had the pleasure of reading the book of Job, make it your goal to reread this remarkable book. You will find that it is just as beneficial today as it was when it was written. How would you answer? What did you learn from Job's three companions regarding what to avoid when giving counsel? How did Elihu show wisdom when he offered Job counsel? How can we continue to benefit from the book of Job? Psalm 125, Happy are the merciful. End of article.